Moncrief on News Talk.
First, though, last night at the Oscars, you might have seen all sorts of people crying. It's acceptable in that context, but in many others, it's not. Yet all the research indicates that crying is completely healthy. So why are we often weird about it? Dr. Mary Murray is an adjunct professor at the School of Psychology at UCD. Mary, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Is it known what the function of crying is?
Yeah, the Oscars are a really good example at some level because people, there's that release of emotion or people feel overwhelmed and therefore they break into tears, or there's terrible nostalgia for them, or there are people who really promoted them over all the years, perhaps a parent who believed in them and that person is gone. So in fact, you know, film is very much about igniting emotion and saying the unsayable and going into our deeper selves. And crying is a very normal, natural function. And it really is, as you ask, Sean, it really is good for us. That's why we get the term of to have a good cry, because it releases all those, you know, pent up anger, frustration, fear, pain. It's a way of expressing really how we feel.
And why is it good for you? What happens to a person physiologically when they've had a good cry?
Well, it activates what's called a parasympathetic nervous system. So after the kind of tumult of crying, that helps the body to relax. It releases some hormones and toxins, and it releases the body's kind of natural sedatives. So people talk about crying themselves to sleep. And that's often because after that bout of crying, there's a kind of a calm or an exhaustion or, you know, many different words you might put on it. But so it's followed. Usually, I mean, there are some people who would say they don't feel better after crying, but the research shows that sometimes it takes an hour or, you know, an hour and a half for the, so that big bout of crying, people feel very upset, but then after a while they feel that calm come in.
There are different sorts of crying though, or at least crying for different sorts of reasons, because you can be angry crying.
Yeah, you can cry with anger, you can cry with, you know, frustration, you can cry with injustice, you can cry even, you know, we have a lot of vicarious trauma now as we watch international affairs. And so there's this empathic crying. We cry for those whom we get images of their suffering. And of course, then there are places where we almost, you know, there's real permission to cry. I mean, certainly, crying is a huge part of grieving. At a funeral, people are crying for the person who's gone, the trauma of someone we love gone from our life, all the memories that come back, facing the future without that person. So, you know, crying is not just appropriate, but it's necessary and it's important. And it also signals, Sean, which I think is interesting to others, that maybe we're upset, maybe we need help. You know, that idea, if we notice somebody has been crying, and particularly if it's a friend or someone we're close to, there's an opportunity to say, gosh, you look a bit tearful, or how are you, or, you know, is anything upsetting you, or anything I can do? So it does open up. It's a signal. And in fact, it's the first signal. If we think of babies crying, pre-verbal, they don't have the capacity to talk or say what they need or what's wrong with them. So that's that very first signal. And it's also then our experience of how our signals are attended to. So in the past, I mean, what was quite sad, I think, in the grim and dim past was if, you know, children were crying, they were told, don't be a crybaby, stop that crying, I'll give you something to cry about. I think we've become much more sensitized now to the importance of, you know, responding when people are upset.
So is it bad for you if you make a habit of not crying, of holding in the tears?
Yeah, I mean, one doesn't have to make a kind of a public performance. You know, there are people who would never let their guard down in a workplace or in a, you know, a social situation. But if you really feel like crying, it is good to go away afterwards and have that, you know, have that cry. And I remember somebody who was just so distressed about a real tragedy in their life. And they decided they were going to go off to the beach on a wild and wintry day and when it would be deserted and absolutely scream and cry out their distress. And they said it really helped. So I suppose, look, there isn't always one rule for everyone. There'll be people listening. Some are afraid to cry in that I've heard people say, I'm afraid to cry because if I cry, I'll never stop. I feel I won't be able to control it. But actually, that's not so. You will stop and it will usually do you good. And it is a release and it releases all those hormones and endorphins and oxytocin. So there is a whole kind of physical, physiological reason to kind of let go. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. I mean, there is nobody listening to us now, Sean, who has not cried. And has not cried, presumably, many times in their life.
Yeah.
Over many things.
Why don't men cry then? Or don't cry as much?
Yeah, you're right. They don't cry as much. And some people do statistics on it that men might cry, you know, so many times a year and women far more often. They do say that babies, infant babies, male and female, cry the same. So an awful lot of it is due to socialization. We really don't give men enough permission to cry. I think things are getting better. I think men are allowed to express their feelings much more. But women, it is accepted. If a woman cries, there's an acceptance at some level around that. And men don't. And I think also men maybe express their emotions of hurt and distress. Sometimes then it can get channeled into being angry because it is being suppressed and they're not being, you know, it's so important to be listened to and observed and somebody to notice and care that you are going through a difficult time. So there is that difference, Sean, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then maybe some of it is also physiological and hormonal. And they do say there's an element of that too.
But oh, is it really? It might be more difficult for men to cry for some sort of hormonal reason.
Well, they might be less likely to, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
But then we also have to look at a society, the whole socialization thing, big boys don't cry. What are those tears about? I mean, what is lovely is if you look at, you know, rugby or GAA or whatever, you do see men overwhelmed with the emotion of and hugging each other and crying and being able to express that. So I think we are moving into a better place where men do feel that they have permission to express their emotions, but we still tend to silence them a bit. And then they also tend, you know, men will often come up and give each other the slap on the back or the punch or whatever. And that can be their way of saying, I care. So we shouldn't be too judgmental. It's up to people to express how they feel, really in whatever way works for them. And of course, works for others around them as well.
Yeah, but it must be situational to some degree in that, as you said there, there was probably loads of men weeping in the Aviva at the weekend when Ireland won the Triple Crown. And, you know, women do tend to cry more than men, but it's not acceptable for either gender to cry at work. So why is that? Because work is probably where we experience most of our stress.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of it is there is this fear. It's a hugely emotional. The people feel vulnerable. They feel exposed. They feel they may be regarded as unstable or, you know, hysterical or over emotional or unable to deal with the ordinary exigencies of the workplace. But of course, we all feel stress in our workplace. And I think, you know, people can share that perhaps with close workmates, or they can talk about it afterwards. But yeah, there kind of isn't permission in the general workplace to cry. And then people often feel ashamed about crying. And of course, the level of shame people have depends on what their experience of the responses to them were when they were growing up. How did people respond when they cried? So there's a lot of restraints around expressing emotion in the workplace.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, which kind of is a shame, really. One would have thought if people gave each other a bit of leeway to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, I think just, you know, the pat on the back or the, you know, thumbs up, or even, you know, if somebody does feel tearful, if there is a way that they can talk about it or express it. I mean, I think what some people do is they may remove themselves or they may feel overwhelmed. But, you know, we must remember there are people going into the workplace who have suffered all kinds of stresses and losses. And, you know, it may be marital things, it may be a miscarriage, it may be the death of somebody. One that arises quite often is when people lose a pet. For example, you know, they love their dog and they don't really feel that they can cry about that, that others won't understand. They think, well, you know, that's not a close family relation. But of course it is. Anyone who loves animals and loves dogs and loves the unconditional, I mean, they're so therapeutic. And many people have cried on their dog from childhood up. You know, it's so therapeutic to have that unconditional love and place where you can express how you feel. So I agree with you, Sean. I don't know whether we're sending out a message. Look, if you're feeling overwhelmed at your desk, don't be afraid to cry. But people judge it maybe depending on the context in which they're working and whether they're working with, you know, customers or whether they're in a more enclosed space. So it's up to everyone. But certainly let those tears out. If don't hold them in, they just really confine you and they're not healthy to hold them in. So let them out in a safe place, at least, or with people you feel safe with.
And in an ideal world, Mary, would it be good if we all have a therapeutic cry every few weeks or every few months? I know people who kind of would say, oh, I felt a cry coming on and then I wanted to know how to cry. And it wasn't for any particular one reason, just like, oh, I feel better now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we get overwhelmed. Life is kind of tough, you know, and it's not getting any easier. And we do feel overwhelmed. And it is really good to release it. You know, we talk about the tears welling up. Well, I mean, in a way, what's interesting, because you started talking about film, often film allows us to express or to feel or release those emotions. You know, we actually can watch something and it's a very sad film, and therefore we cry. So that's a one way. It's a kind of a circumventing way, but it's a way of releasing. But I agree with you, Sean. I mean, I think it's really good to cry. And if we feel emotion, we feel sad, we feel really upset about someone, we get bad news, we've all had disappointments, we've all had rejection, we've all had times when we felt people don't like us or want us or whatever. And in all those instances, why wouldn't we? I mean, if we were to achieve something today, it would be to say, do go and have a good cry. The one thing I would like to say is really important. If you're feeling sad and tearful, you know, on an ongoing basis, feeling you're crying for no reason, tearing up, that everything is bringing out emotion in you, then you really have to, it's really good to go and talk to your GP, because, you know, an endless sort of crying can be a sign, obviously, of depression.
Yes, indeed.
So good. So we really need to recognize that. And also, you know, if that's what you're finding is happening, here's your opportunity. Your tears are telling you that you're feeling unable to cope, you're feeling down, you don't feel able to deal with tomorrow, you don't want to meet people, you don't want to get out of bed, you don't enjoy anything. Go to your GP. There's just so much that can be done to help people when they are depressed. And sometimes it can take too long to recognize that you're depressed. So it's that kind of distinction between having our good, healthy cry and not being afraid to on a regular basis. If we well up, let's do it. But if we're really very down and, you know, it's just tearful in a way that everything upsets us, then always look out for depression.
Mary, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Mary Murray there, adjunct professor at the School of Psychology in UCD.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.